on prayer. So Jesus speaking. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. May God add to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy word.
Please be seated.
Do you pray?
Every now and then.
Sometimes I do, yes.
Every day, several times a day.
5 times a day.
Many times during a day.
Once a week, maybe.
Every day, all day.
Do you pray?
Sometimes, yeah.
How often is sometimes?
Like, once a month.
I try to get it in, morning and night, so.
Have you prayed this morning?
Not this morning, because I was running late.
Do you pray?
No, I don't.
No.
I do not.
Tell me why not.
Because I don't believe in God.
I don't think there is just one religion, and I think that although maybe I should pray to at least some form of God, but I haven't found it yet.
Tell me why not.
I'm not really sure what I believe in.
Actually, I take that back. I do pray in the sense of just sort of a quiet, reflective time that's more of an introspective analysis, but there's not a supreme being that I would say that I pray to.
Tell me what you prayed about.
I prayed about just the basic prayer, you know, forgiving me of my sins and things of that nature.
Just for people I know who died and just things like that, and that everything goes well in the future.
Pray for myself, for my family, yeah, for my people, for everything, yeah.
Usually I pray when one of my family members is sick or if I need a new job.
For forgiveness for the things that I've done wrong.
Everything, anything you could possibly imagine, I pray about.
Do you feel that prayer makes a difference?
I think it really does. Whether or not you can, you know, see it happening around you, but it just, I think it's something that makes you feel better.
Do you think it makes a difference?
If not on anything else, it at least gives me mental peace, and that's what I pray for, actually, most of the time.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I can't say how practically, but I know it does, the way I feel about things.
I think it helps me to keep my focus, helps me to refocus at times. It's easy to get caught up in worldly things, and then helps you take a few minutes sometimes, whether you're going to work, coming home from work, or at the end of the night, to refocus and keep your priorities in line.
It's a way of, like, focusing, you know? You know, kind of a stress reliever in a way, too.
I believe it does, if not psychologically, at least spiritually. I think it affects both of those qualities.
It just makes you feel better, and you it helps you feel better about the people you're praying for, and just makes you think, I guess.
Will you pray with me? Almighty God, open our hearts and minds to the power of your Holy Spirit, that as we study your word together, we may be drawn closer to you and understand the true power of prayer. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a boy, one of my favorite birthday gifts was a set of really cool walkie-talkies. I know that seems a little obsolete now with smartphones, but they were a big deal back then. These had Morse code beepers. They had a chart for each letter of the alphabet, and I thought it was the greatest thing since ice cream. Well, my best friend and I, we decided that from that day on, Morse code would be the only way we communicated. So I gave him one of the walkie-talkies, and he went off to our treehouse, and I went home for dinner. Well, guess what? Our enthusiasm for this new code language didn't last very long. We started sending each other messages. I was in a panic because I thought he said the treehouse was surrounded by wild dogs. He was trying to tell me he was going home to feed his dog. And the confusion just continued. So in the end, we gave up. We just started sending SOS messages to each other because that's the only message we knew how to send. And looking back now, this seems a bit funny. But at the time, it was pretty frustrating. And sometimes, isn't that how we view prayer? We see it as some sort of godlike language that only the holiest of holies can speak. We get so discouraged that we settle for SOS prayers or 911 prayers when we're in trouble, when we need something. Well, first of all, there is no special God language that you need to learn to pray. All humans are created in the image of God, and God loves each of you as if you were his only child, and God wants to be in communication with you daily. And the words that you use when you pray are probably the least important thing about the prayer. It's what's in here. It's what's in your heart that matters. Prayer isn't about being perfect. It's not about having the right words. Prayer is about your willingness to come before God in humility with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your vulnerabilities. But with that said, I've been around long enough to know that everybody here already has some preconceived notions about prayer. So I'd like to suggest this morning that we talk about prayer from the point of creating a map of a landscape. Now stay with me here. I know some of you have already checked out, but we're going to get there. You and I both know that any map, regardless of how good it is only a representation of the real landscape. If you really want to understand the beauty of the land, you're going to have to go there. You're going to have to visit that place and spend time there. One of my former roommates, he was from Los Angeles, and he'd never seen the Great Smoky Mountains in Gatlinburg. And I've traveled all over the world, and I still believe that those Smoky Mountains are one of the most beautiful mountains in the world. I try to describe them to him. I'd show him pictures on the internet, and all he could think of were mountains covered in L.A. smog. They didn't appeal to him in the least bit. I had to take him there. He had to go there with me to truly understand and experience the beauty of those beautiful mountains. So what I'm trying to say is that we can talk about prayer this morning until we're blue in the face. But if we don't make prayer part of our lives, we're cheating ourselves. And we're cheating God. It's impossible to make a person understand the power of prayer by just talking about it. So I want you to remember what we're doing today is we're creating a map of the landscape of prayer. But to really understand the beauty, the power, and the mystery of prayer, you're going to have to go there and explore that prayer land for yourself. People often come in my office, and frankly, they'll say things like, Michael, why bother even praying? Why? My friends, the answer is simple. Because Jesus prayed. During our time together last week, we defined a disciple as a follower of Christ who learns the doctrine of Scriptures and the lifestyle they require. We agreed that the goal of a disciple is to be an imitator of Jesus, to strive to be like him by incorporating Jesus' personal habits, what he did here on earth, into our lives. And this morning, we're looking at the role prayer played in the life of Jesus. There's no doubt, if you've read some of the Holy Scriptures, that you know that prayer was always a priority in Jesus' life. He encouraged others to pray and offered specific advice on how we are to pray. Prayer was central to Jesus' mission here on earth. It's a means of nurturing his relationship with God and staying focused on God's will, not our will. Jesus demonstrated the importance of prayer throughout his public ministry. Jesus spent a considerable amount of time praying, taking time away from everyone else to go out alone and pray. He prayed at every decisive moment before it in his life, beginning with his baptism. He prayed before he chose his 12 disciples. He also prayed in times of human weakness, at the death and the grave of Lazarus, and as he faced his own death on the cross. There was no emergency, no difficulty, no necessity, no temptation that Jesus didn't lift up to God in prayer. Regardless of what was going on in his life, Jesus was never too busy to pray. His prayers were steadfast, they were thankful and confident. You see, Jesus demonstrated to us through his prayer life that we are called to be totally dependent on God. Jesus was the Son of God. If he needed all that time in prayer, where does that leave us? You see, Jesus just didn't pray in times of crisis. Jesus made prayer a priority and a part of every aspect of his life. And we are called to do the same. When my daughter was a little girl, she knew that she could always get an audience with me regardless of how busy I was. And because I was a corporate executive, life could be pretty busy. There were lots of demands, and I usually had a whole line of people wanting something, wanting some time. But I didn't want my daughter to get lost in the shuffle. Anytime she and Mom stopped by the office, she knew that she could just pop right in, and she did. She would walk or march or run right past my assistant. She didn't care who was in my office or who I was on the phone with. She'd come right on in. She'd climb up in my lap. She'd want to show me a project or tell me it was my turn to feed her doll or just give me a big hug and a kiss. And to be honest with you, sometimes other people, the people that were on the phone or in the office, they'd really get put out by that, but I didn't care. She loved her privileged access to her daddy. Today, she knows that she is my priority and that she can call me anytime, and I'll always be there for her. My friends, that's the way it is with God. We know that God is always there for us. We can talk directly to him through prayer. Now, I want us to learn about talking straight to God using four simple requests. If you have a pen, you might want to write these down. There are some pencils in the back of the pews. God, keep me. God, teach me. God, use me. God, send me. So when you talk to God, ask him to keep you safe, to keep you safe from all the evil and sins in our midst. And thank God for your current position in your life, for your family, for your job, your home, your church. Now, I realize that this is not always easy because some of us are at some pretty difficult places in our lives right now. But I want you to remember this verse of Scripture that it's always helped me. It's from Romans. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. God has placed each of us where we are for a purpose. Thank God for all the blessings he's provided in your life. And if you're not sure what your purpose is or why you're in this particular situation, it's okay to ask God to help you understand. Ask God why. I want you always to know that it's okay to ask and question God. There are many of you this morning who have small children. How often do those kids say, why? Why, Daddy? Why, Mommy? As God's children, it's okay to ask why. The second request is to ask God to teach you. When you pray, ask God to give you an understanding of his holy scriptures. And ask God to teach you to apply what you've read and what you've learned in those scriptures to your life. To apply them to your own personal faith walk. The more you know, the more you'll grow. And the more you'll love to pray as you become more aware of God's will and God's power in your life. We need God's word to remain grounded in what's right. Thank God for revealing to you his will and his ways through the power of the Holy Scriptures. The third request is to ask God to use you for his purpose, that God's will be done. We pray this at every worship service. You heard the kids do that a little while ago during the Lord's Prayer. We do that each week. Thy will be done. Jesus recommends that in prayer we ask for the Holy Spirit to help us to accept God's will in our lives. You see, prayer is not about telling God what we want. It's not about telling God what we want to accomplish, but actively seeking to discern God's will for our lives. God's will, not our will. And asking God to use us as a vessel for his purpose. Do you remember Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane as he faced death on the cross? Jesus prayed that God's will be done. These words are found in the Gospel according to Matthew. He threw himself on the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. Can you imagine that? Jesus, the Son of God in anguish on the ground, knowing what was before him, the pain and torment of death on the cross, the nails, the crown of thorns, and he prays, your will, not mine, be done. The key to a successful prayer life, my friends, is to seek God's will for your life. If we want to be like Jesus, we have to pray like Jesus and regard prayer as an essential element of our life every day, essential element in nourishing our relationship with God and staying focused on God's will, not our own will. As disciples, we are called to pray as Jesus prayed. Then the final request, and this one's extremely important, we said every week in our mission statement, is to ask God to send you out to serve the world. You see, God wants you to share the love of Jesus with others. So I encourage you to ask God every day in your prayers to use you, to make a difference in the world, to share Christ's love, to make a difference in someone's life who needs hope. Many years ago, I started praying daily that God would use me, that God would give me the opportunity to share his love with others. And I can tell you what a difference this has made, what a blessing it's been to me. Many times it just starts out with a smile or saying hello to someone. You might be beside someone seated on a plane or standing in line at the supermarket, even in the DMV, when an opportunity arises for you to share God's love. It's amazing the people that God has put in my path over the years. Now, I don't run up to them and tell them that I'm a pastor or try to preach to them. I simply just love them, to be kind to them. I know it's scary talking to people you don't know, but I encourage you to ask God to give you the proper words and the proper attitude to share his love outside these walls in the world. Remember that it's not about you. It's about the hope that's inside of you, in your heart. It's about the power of Jesus Christ to change people's lives, and that's the good news that we're called to share. I encourage you always to remember that you can talk directly to God through prayer anytime and anywhere. And while there's no special formula for speaking to God, using these four simple requests can help you start a conversation. Keep me, teach me, use me, send me. God wants to use each and every one of you. God wants to teach you. And God wants to send you outside these walls to be an instrument to share his love with others. And it all begins with prayer. Jesus' prayer life demonstrates to us his dependency upon God. And that total dependency thing, well, it's hard for us. I mean, think about it. From the time we're born, we're encouraged to be self-sufficient, to be able to take care of ourselves. And we carry that over into our adult lives. We want to be independent. And I'm sorry to say that far too often we let our independent spirit become a stumbling block between God and ourselves. I believe that pastor and author Philip Yancey put it best when he wrote, "Only he or she who is helpless can truly pray." Let me read that again. "Only he or she who is helpless can truly pray." So what does it mean? What does it mean to be helpless? We only need to look to the example of Jesus in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Listen closely, and this is on the front screens. "Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Perhaps, my friends, the biggest barrier to our prayer life is our own pride. We're called to humbly submit ourselves to God in prayer and to follow the example of Jesus. So why bother praying? Well, the answer is right there in the gospel according to John. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.